Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, October 27th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
shares of Microsoft rally on earnings.
Democrats unveil a proposed minimum tax for corporations.
Tensions flare again between the U.S. and China.
And the FDA moves another step closer to approving COVID vaccines for kids.
A menacing nor'easter lingers into this morning's commute for the tri-state, and the candidates running to be New York City's next mayor battle it out in their final debate. I'm John Tucker. Those stories straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Atlanta Braves won Game 1 of the World Series in Houston, and the Knicks ended a long losing streak against Philadelphia.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good Wednesday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And futures this morning, little changed. It is coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And right now, S&P futures are down 2 points, Dow futures down 13, and NASDAQ futures are down about 3. The DAX in Germany is down 0.5%. The 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 1.59%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.50%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.6%. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thanks. Let's begin this morning with market reaction to the latest earnings. We're watching shares of Microsoft in the pre-market. They're up more than 2%. That's after the company's cloud business helped drive robust sales and profit. Let's get more now from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
They topped analyst estimates for an 11th straight quarter. Revenue in the first quarter ending September 30th climbed 22%. CEO Satya Nadella has extended the company's success in cloud computing by lining up a steady stream of deals for Azure software. Internet-based office programs also keep growing as Microsoft convinces customers to pay up for high-end versions and expanded contracts. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Right, Charlie, thank you. Well, on the flip side to the earnings picture this morning, shares of Alphabet are down about 0.25%. Google posted strong numbers for the third quarter, but other business units came up short. Ed Ludlow has details from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Google's search business is thriving in a robust advertising environment, but ad revenue from YouTube and Google's cloud sales both fell short. The cloud unit is seeing growth, but is lagging behind the likes of AWS and Microsoft, while YouTube saw, quote, modest impacts from Apple's iOS privacy changes. And ahead of the holiday quarter, there's supply chain constraints for the Pixel 6 smartphone, which is experiencing strong demand. In San Francisco, Ed Ludlow, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thanks. Outside of earnings, we're watching growing tensions this morning between the U.S. and China. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. One of three leading communications providers in China is losing privileges to operate in the U.S. The FCC voted unanimously to stop China Telecom from doing business in the country, citing national security concerns. And it follows similar moves from the White House targeting other Chinese tech companies like Huawei. This shows that broad concerns about Beijing persist in Washington no matter who's leading the country, even as the Biden administration moves to improve communication with China. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Right, Renita, thank you. Well, General Mark Milley is also weighing in on U.S.-China relations. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff says Beijing is a growing threat to U.S. security. General Milley spoke to David Rubenstein on the latest edition of Peer-to-Peer Conversations.
There's no question in my mind that the biggest geostrategic challenge to the United States is going to be China. That I have no doubt at all. Russia is important, not unimportant at all. Russia has very significant military capabilities. North Korea, Iran are still there. Terrorists are going to be around for quite a while. But I think China is clearly the most significant geostrategic threat we face.
General Mark Milley calls China's recent missile test significant and concerning. You can catch his entire interview on Peer-to-Peer Conversations with David Rubenstein tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Television.
Well, meantime, in Washington, Karen, Democrats continue to search for consensus on how to pay for President Biden's economic plan. Now they're eyeing a new corporate minimum tax. Amy Morris has details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The proposal requires companies that report more than $1 billion in profits to shareholders pay at least a 15% tax rate, even if they do qualify for lots of breaks. Democrats are planning to use this as an alternative to raising the regular corporate income tax. That rate would stay at 21%. A summary of the plan says this minimum tax would apply to about 200 companies and would raise up to $400 billion over 10 years. Senator Kyrsten Sinema, who opposed raising the corporate income tax, called this a common sense proposal. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Amy, thank you. While Democrats are also planning a so-called billionaire's tax, it would hit the unrealized capital gains of the ultra-wealthy and has emerged as an alternative to hiking income tax rates on top earners. Billionaires Larry Fink and Ray Dalio are weighing in on the idea. The heads of BlackRock and Bridgewater Associates are open to paying more, but only if the money is put to good use.
If we could find solutions where the money can be directed in a proper way, you know, I have more to give.
If it raises productivity and creates equal opportunity, that we can't just talk about the raising of money, we have to talk about the usage of money. So that's part of that picture. But yes, if it accomplishes those things, I would support it. I'm not sure that it does.
Larry Fink and Ray Dalio spoke at Saudi Arabia's flagship investment conference in Riyadh.
Well, it's a busy week for the White House, Karen, as President Biden also weighs filling open seats on the Federal Reserve. He's zeroing in on whether to renominate Jay Powell for another term. Sources tell us the president has started meeting with top White House and Treasury aides about the top job and other vacancies at the central bank.
And turning to the pandemic now, Nathan, we have new developments on the vaccine front. An FDA advisory panel has now approved Pfizer's vaccine for kids aged 5 to 11. We get more on the story from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
Full FDA okay ahead, and then it goes to the CDC for protocol. Dr. Anthony Fauci says this will now close the circle for all demographic groups and is good for the entire population.
It's passing on also to family members in the family unit, because a substantial proportion, about 50% of the kids, are without symptoms, which does not mean that they don't transmit the infection.
So the hope is it will help people get more comfortable and back in the workforce. Looks like the timeline, shots in arms next week or the week after. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thanks. Futures this morning, little change to lower. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. It's now 5:07 on Wall Street. Still raining, 56 degrees in Central Park. Got a lot of road closures from flooding. Details coming up in traffic. Let's bring in Michael Barr for more on what's going on in New York and around the world.
And Nathan, a menacing nor'easter lingers into this morning's commute for the tri-state. And Bloomberg meteorologist Gary Bast has the update this morning. Gary, what are the rainfall totals so far? When does this all end?
Well, the storm right now, John, is located just southeast of Cape Cod and moving off towards the east eventually here through this afternoon. So with the weather system moving away, we'll gradually have some improving conditions over the next day or so. As far as rainfall totals are concerned, we've got basically 2 to 4 inches of rain across much of the region. Kings County reported gusts of 47 to 50, and Suffolk County reported gusts of 45 to 55. Again, the strongest winds will be diminishing through today, and then nicer weather for tomorrow.
Gary Bast in the Weather Center this morning. Last night, the candidates running to be New York City's next mayor battled it out in their final debate before next week's election. Moderators struggled to keep things on track between Democrat Eric Adams and Curtis Sliwa, founder of the Guardian Angels.
You're interrupting. You're being disrespectful. Show a level of discipline.
Show compassion. Show care. Don't just be a robot.
Adams, the Brooklyn Borough president, widely expected to win the election. Days before the final votes are cast, an election likely to make him Manhattan's first black district attorney, Alvin Bragg showing just how different a prosecutor he might be. Instead of stumping for votes, the Democrats spending the last days of his campaign questioning New York City police officials in a rare judicial inquiry into the 2014 police chokehold death of Eric Garner. The Santa Fe County District Attorney says she's not ruling out criminal charges in last week's fatal shooting at a film set in New Mexico. The actor Alec Baldwin was rehearsing with a gun that he had been told did not contain live ammunition when it went off, killing the film's cinematographer and wounding its director. The U.S. government scheduled to ask Britain's High Court to overturn a judge's decision that WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange should not be sent to the U.S. to face espionage charges. A lower court judge refused extradition back in January on health grounds, saying Assange was likely to kill himself if held under harsh U.S. prison conditions. Two judges will hear the appeal today and tomorrow. And cigarette sales in the U.S. climbed last year amid the COVID-19 pandemic, marking the first annual increase in two decades. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
John Tucker, thank you. Almost 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Good morning, John Stanshauer.
Good morning, Nathan. How long has it been since the Knicks have been able to defeat Philadelphia? Last time it happened was 2017. Carmelo Anthony was still a Knick, and he has played for four different teams since then. 15 losses in a row. The streak finally came to an end at the Garden. Knicks won the second quarter 39-16. They won the game 112-99, led by their new backcourt of Kemba Walker and Evan Fournier, 19 and 18 points together. They made 9 of 17 three-pointers. Knicks play tomorrow night in Chicago. The Bulls are 4-0. So are the Warriors. Golden State won at Oklahoma City. The Lakers played without LeBron James, still won in overtime at San Antonio. Calgary Flames enjoying the area. A win over the Rangers followed last night by a 5-3 win at the Devils. Hard to top the way the Atlanta Braves got going in Houston. This was the third pitch on the Braves' first swing.
Two balls and no strikes on Jorge. The pitch on the way. Hit well, deep left. That's going back. That ball is gone! 1-0 Braves. And Jorge feels like busting loose. And that's how you start a World Series.
Indeed, Braves radio, Jorge Soler, the game, the leadoff home run. Atlanta scored again in the first inning. Another run in the second. Adam Duvall, two-run home in the third. They won the series opener from the Astros 6-2, despite their starting pitcher, Charlie Morton, having to leave in the third inning. Got hit in the leg with a line drive in the second. Stayed in the game. Got three outs before x-ray showed Morton's got a broken leg. Game two tonight. What's become an annual event? Jets owner Woody Johnson gave his coach Rob Saleh and GM Joe Douglas a vote of confidence. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
John, thanks. S&P futures down 4 points. Dow futures down 37. NASDAQ futures down 3 points. 10-year Treasury yield 1.59%. This is Bloomberg. And coming up to 5:12 on Wall Street, the Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures, little change this morning. While European shares faded amid mixed earnings reports, a decline in commodity prices, and renewed concerns about the region's economy, we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 2 points this morning. Dow futures down 23. NASDAQ futures up about 4. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury up 0.4 seconds, yield 1.59%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.49%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.7% on $1.43 at $83.22 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.3% or $5.10 at $17.88.30 an ounce. The euro 1.1594 against the dollar. The yen 113.61. In Europe, shares of Deutsche Bank are down more than 5%. Earnings from Germany's largest bank disappointed, but Chief Financial Officer James von Moltke said there are also signs of improvement ahead.
Market conditions were more muted in the third quarter, so volatility was relatively low, but client engagement was high and actually increased as the quarter went on. So there is activity out there as clients hedge, as they position for what is in fact a changing environment.
Deutsche Bank CFO James von Moltke says a recent pickup in client trading should help lift earnings going forward. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John, good morning.
Karen, U.S. health advisors have endorsed kid-sized doses of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine. It moves the nation closer to vaccinating children ages 5 to 11. President Biden's big domestic policy bill, now half its original size, and it's also being reconfigured as Democrats edge closer to satisfying their most reluctant lawmakers. China condemning the U.S.'s latest overture toward Taiwan, warning that ties between the two countries face huge risks just weeks after Presidents Biden and Xi Jinping agreed to hold a video summit. Sports, the Braves take Game 1 of the World Series 6-2 over the Astros. In basketball, the Knicks and Golden State win on the ice. The Devils and Sharks both lose. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. We're powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, John. We're coming up to 520 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's turn back to what's happening in Washington now, with just 4 days left till Democrats' latest self-imposed deadline to agree on President Biden's agenda. The focus is on taxes and how to pay for it. Let's bring in Julie Norman now, professor and lecturer on politics and international relations at University College London. Julie, it's good to have you back on with us. And the latest ideas we're hearing from key Senate Democrats are a new 15% tax on corporate profits and a new tax on the unrealized asset gains of billionaires. Are these the kinds of ideas that can get Democrats to agree with each other?
Well, Nathan, I think there's still a far way to go. But what we have heard so far is that the initial plan that Biden essentially wanted to unwind the Trump tax rates, but Senator Sinema in particular was opposed to that. So the two main policies that are currently being proposed are, as you noted, the 15% minimum corporate tax and, just in the last several days, the billionaire tax. This has really been put forward by Senator Wyden, the head of the Senate Finance Committee, and along with Elizabeth Warren, a familiar name in this, as well as Sinema. And it would essentially tax billionaires on the gain in value of certain assets each year instead of only at the time of sale. So it would be a very progressive shift in taxation. It has some popular support politically, but even among Democrats, this is quite divisive. For example, the House Ways and Means Committee Chair, Richard Neal, has expressed significant skepticism. It's unclear how much this would actually raise. Even more importantly, it's unclear how it would be implemented. And probably most importantly, there are big questions on if it would be seen as constitutional. It would almost certainly spark legal battles, especially around the 16th Amendment, as to whether this is taxable income as opposed to wealth.
Well, you laid out quite a few headwinds there for these tax ideas. Are these the kinds of issues that could redound on President Biden politically? It seems like he's really counting on getting at least an agreement that he can bring forward into not just the midterms, but next week's key governor's elections in Virginia and New Jersey.
That's right. Biden really was hoping for a deal by the end of this week, as I think all Democrats were. Biden is leaving for Europe tomorrow for the G20 and then the climate summit after that. We have the governor races next week, especially in Virginia. So he was certainly looking for a win. At this point, though, I think that's going to be tough for Democrats to close this deal in the next couple of days, despite still the efforts continuing. And that's because, again, this question of how to pay for it is still quite outstanding. This new proposal about the billionaire tax, we haven't actually seen text about it. That's likely to come today. But again, many Democrats are still uncertain if this would actually work and something they could get behind until they see that. Along with that, Nathan, there's still the question of what's actually going to be included in the bill. So along with how to pay for it, Democrats are still wrestling with if they're going to cover Medicare expansion, Medicaid expansion, what climate provisions are going to be included. So there's still a lot being debated right now.
Well, as you mentioned, the president's going to be leaving this debate behind somewhat as he heads over to the G20 and the COP26 summit in Glasgow that's coming up next week. In our last minute here, Julie, what does the president need to accomplish with allies in the days ahead?
Well, what Biden needs to do, especially at the climate summit, is indicate where he is pushing for major policy changes in the U.S. He needs to be able to frame it that he's on the threshold of making some of these accomplishments, even if the bill does not go through completely. Of course, his own climate provisions have been scaled back by some in his own party, as well as by Republicans. But he'll need to show that he's actually making a good faith effort on that side, as well as, again, on this issue of the minimum corporate tax globally, which is something that's kind of a bigger picture for a lot of the countries that will be meeting not only at the climate summit, but also at the G20.
And something that Treasury Secretary Yellen in particular has been laying a lot of groundwork for. We'll leave it there for now. Julie Norman, thank you so much for being with us once again. Julie Norman is a professor and lecturer on politics and international relations at University College London. Of course, we're going to be following President Biden very closely as he heads to the G20 at the end of this week and the COP26 summit in Glasgow. We're going to have full coverage in the days to come here on Bloomberg Radio and on Bloomberg Television. Looking ahead to the market, open. Little change in the futures markets. S&P futures are down 3 points. Dow futures down 31. NASDAQ futures up 1 point. And the 10-year Treasury is up 5/32. The yield 1.59%. Yield on the 2-year 0.49%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the New York Community Trust. Your name will live on as a champion of the causes you care about for years to come through a charitable bequest to the New York Community Trust. Learn more at give2.nyc.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are little changed this morning following yesterday's record close and a slew of earnings after the bell. We start with Microsoft. Shares are up more than 2% at an all-time high after results topped estimates for an 11th straight quarter. The company's cloud business, Azure, continues to impress, according to Dan Newman at Futurum Research.
Demand for Azure continues to be really strong. Each and every quarter, I continue to look for this number to fall below 50%. And it's been similar with AWS and looking for that number to fall below 30%. But it continues to meet that 50% growth number.
And Dan Newman at Futurum Research says he was also impressed with Microsoft's performance in its productivity and devices businesses.
Well, shares of Alphabet, meantime, are down about 0.25%. The parent company of Google posted sales that topped estimates, but results from its YouTube and cloud computing divisions fell short.
Well, outside of earnings, Nathan, we're watching growing tension between the U.S. and China this morning. We get the latest on that live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. One of three leading communications providers in China is losing privileges to operate in the U.S. The FCC voted unanimously to stop China Telecom from doing business in the country, citing national security concerns. This shows that broad concerns about Beijing persist in Washington, no matter who's leading the country, even as the Biden administration moves to improve communication with China. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thanks. Meantime, in Washington, Democrats are still looking for ways to pay for President Biden's economic agenda. Now, three key senators on the Finance Committee are out with a new 15% tax proposal on corporate profits, an alternative to raising the corporate tax rate, that's opposed by Democrat Kyrsten Sinema. We spoke with Washington State Democratic Congresswoman Susan DelBene about negotiations.
We've had a lot of discussions. I think we're at the point where people need to decide so we can get this done and get resources to the American people, get programs that will help us build back better.
Congresswoman Susan DelBene spoke with our Washington, D.C. correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. You can catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
And futures this morning, little changed. S&P futures down 2.5 points. Dow futures down 26. And NASDAQ futures up 1. The 10-year Treasury up 4/32. Yield 1.59%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.48%. NYMEX crude oil is down about 1.8% on $1.48 at $83.17 a barrel. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
It's 5:33 on Wall Street, 56 rainy degrees in Central Park. Getting off to a good start so far in the bridges and tunnels, but still dealing with some flooded roads. Peter Vane will have the details on that for you in traffic just ahead. First, John Tucker with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. John.
Nathan, U.S. health advisors have endorsed kid-sized doses of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine for young children. They say the benefits exceed the risks. More from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
It puts the shot for the youngest school-aged children on track for a likely clearance. The FDA's Vaccines Advisory Committee voted 17-0 with one abstention to back the immunization, which is intended for children from 5 to 11 years old and is one-third the dose currently given to people age 12 and older. Making a vaccine available to children in elementary school would mark a major milestone in the pandemic. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Law enforcement authorities are scheduled to discuss initial findings about a fatal movie set shooting with a prop gun discharged by the actor Alec Baldwin that left a cinematographer dead and the film director wounded. A news conference in New Mexico by the Santa Fe County Sheriff and the District Attorney this morning may shed new light on a deadly sequence of events that has baffled film set safety experts. New York City home prices are rising fast in some of its most prestigious neighborhoods. In the third quarter, Manhattan's Greenwich Village and Chelsea, expensive to live in staples of downtown cool, each saw resale prices jump to a median of $1.3 million. Twitter's legal battle to keep Donald Trump off the social media platform for inciting the January 6th Capitol riot is being moved from Florida to a federal court in California over the objections of the former president. A U.S. district judge has granted Twitter's request to transfer the case, citing the San Francisco-based company's user terms that require legal disputes to be handled on its home turf. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. We're powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, John. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report with John Stanshauer.
Thanks, Nathan. Quite a start to the World Series for the Atlanta Braves. Jorge Soler, who missed the NLCS due to COVID, leading off against Houston's Framber Valdez, and the third pitch of the World Series, his first swing, a home run. Ray scored again in the first inning, also scored in the second. Adam Duvall, a two-run homer in the third. First team in World Series history to score in each of the first three innings of the series opener. Braves beat the Astros 6-2. Atlanta's won 8 of the last 10 this postseason. Game 2 in Houston is tonight. Before the game, Commissioner Rob Manfred met the media, talked about his desire for a new CBA, his understandable concern over the length of games. Manfred also said he doesn't expect fans in Atlanta to stop doing the chop unless there's pushback from the Native American community. Knicks and Sixers at the Garden.
Walker, right wing, three-pointer. It's good. Kemba Walker drains another Knicks three. Their 13th. A 75-51 lead, the largest for the Knickerbockers tonight.
WPN, the call. Philadelphia did cut into that 24-point Knick lead, but the Knicks pulled it out 112-99. Kemba Walker, 19 points. Evan Fournier with 18. 9 threes between them, and the Knicks end a 15-game losing streak versus Philly. It's their first win over the Sixers since 2017 in Newark. Calgary beat the Devils 5-3. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, a rare presser after owners' meetings in New York. Goodell said they're still gathering info on Texans QB Deshaun Watson. They will not release emails from their Washington football team investigation to protect the anonymity of those that cooperated. John Stashauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
New York City home prices are rising fast in some of the most prestigious neighborhoods. In the third quarter, Manhattan's Greenwich Village and Chelsea each saw resale values jump to a median of $1.3 million. The gains from a year ago were 40 and 24%, respectively. A 1920s-era office tower on Fifth Avenue is testing the market for older buildings at a time when tenants have gravitated to new skyscrapers. The 24-story property is at 475 Fifth Avenue. It's expected to fetch around $300 million. According to a broker at CBRE Group, which is handling the sale. Well, the EPA will investigate the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation's actions to advance a natural gas pipeline in Brooklyn. The agency plans to look into claims that the pipeline project didn't follow required procedures. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, we're watching for earnings from McDonald's.
I'm Courtney Denahoe on WHAS in Louisville. Cigarette sales climbed for the first time in 20 years last year.
I'm Caroline Hetkel, Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. It's budget day. Despite all the teaser announcements about Rishi Sunak's autumn statement, there are no real expectations of big spending from the British Chancellor.
I'm Steve Podolsky, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about Netflix, hoping to turn a vacant New Jersey Army base into a TV and film studio.
live. It's Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting GM and Ford will be reporting earnings today.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
As supply chain woes have wreaked havoc on the global economy, one choke point in particular has stood out: America's woefully inefficient ports. Ships idling off the coast, waiting to offload goods, have become an icon of paralysis. Such delays impose serious costs. Retailers face shortages. Manufacturers have slowed production. Goods have spoiled, and exporters have lost customers. Experts expect the crunch to last for months. U.S. ports have exhibited shortcomings for years. Not one cracked the top 50 in global efficiency. Why? In part, lack of automation. Fearful that jobs might disappear or migrate to offices from the docks, unions have resisted the kind of automation that is standard overseas. The result was serious turnaround delays even before the recent swell of pressure on capacity. Automation won't make sense at every port, but its potential benefits are plain if coupled with data sharing and worker training. None of this will be cheap, but few investments offer as much potential to grow the nation's economy. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPI and go. S&P futures down 4 points, Dow futures down 25, NASDAQ futures down 9. Microsoft shares up more than 2% on earnings. We'll break down the numbers next with Bloomberg's Paul Sweeney. This is Bloomberg. And it's almost 5:41 on Wall Street. The Bloomberg Sports Report, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures this morning are little changed to lower, while stocks in Europe are retreating from a near record and bonds are gaining amid mixed earnings reports, a decline in commodity prices, and renewed concerns about the region's economy. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures now down 5 points. Dow futures down 28. NASDAQ futures down about 16. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 1.59%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.48%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.5% at $1.27 at $83.39 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.3% or $5.50 at $1787.90 an ounce. The euro, 1.1592 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3738. And the yen is at 113.61. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
Karen, Senate Democrats have released details of a proposed tax on billionaires. Lawmakers hope it will help fund President Biden's social spending plan. A Food and Drug Administration panel has given its backing to the Pfizer vaccine for young kids. The Santa Fe County District Attorney says she's not ruling out criminal charges in last week's fatal shooting on a film set in New Mexico. Sports: Braves takes Game 1 of the World Series 6-2 over the Astros. And at basketball, the Knicks and Golden State win on the ice. The Devils and Sharks lose. Global News 24 hours a day on air. And on Bloomberg Quick Take, we're powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, John, thanks. It's coming up to 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we are getting through a very busy week for tech earnings. Karen mentioned it's been kind of a mixed bag of late. You could say that about some of the latest companies to report, including Microsoft and Google parent Alphabet. Let's go through those numbers in particular this morning with Paul Sweeney, host of Bloomberg Surveillance and Bloomberg Markets here on Bloomberg Radio, getting up a little early to talk earnings with us. Appreciate that, Paul. Thanks for being here. Let's start off with Microsoft. I mean, Sundar Pichai just keeps finding ways to deliver, Paul.
He really does, Nathan. I mean, I think the issue for Microsoft here for a lot of investors is their cloud business. You know, it's called Azure, and it's one of the leading cloud businesses in the sector, and it continues to put up really, really strong numbers for the company. And I think investors like the fact that Microsoft is investing in that business because they see that Microsoft continues to deliver really strong revenue and earnings growth from their cloud business. So much like Amazon and Google, for that matter, the cloud is really a source of, you know, long-term growth for Microsoft.
Yeah, definitely says something about the resilience of the cloud, even with more offices reopening as we try to chart our way out of the pandemic. Where is Microsoft when it comes to market share for cloud? You mentioned Amazon. I mean, Amazon Web Services is still the huge elephant in the room, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. The cloud is a huge business. It's probably one of the fastest growing businesses within the entire tech stack, as it would. But they're probably, you know, Amazon is the leader there, but Microsoft is a very strong number two. And a lot of analysts that I speak to say that you know, the Microsoft cloud product is really, really competitive because it has so many good applications around it, and it does a really good job for a lot of customers. So it's certainly competitive. Google is also there. IBM is also in this space. But there's really three or four just big players, Microsoft one of them, that continue to drive that part of this tech business higher.
Let's turn to Google and the parent company, Alphabet. The numbers there, overall, topped estimates, but at least in the pre-market, it looks like investors are focused on the disappointing figures from the cloud and YouTube.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think the business there is in really good shape. I mean, when you take a look at Google, you know, we've become, I guess, accustomed to this monster tech company continuing to put up kind of 20% growth that people kind of get maybe used to it a little bit, take it for granted. But there's so many growth drivers there at Google, you know, whether it's their core search business, and that's obviously a global business. YouTube continues to put up, you know, 20% to 30% revenue growth there from their digital advertising, and then their cloud business. Again, as I mentioned before, it's not the leader in the space, but they clearly are very competitive there. They continue to allocate a lot of capital to that business, and it continues to generate pretty good returns for them. So I think Google's in very good shape here. They're going to have some a little bit more difficult comparisons coming up from their advertising business, which they highlighted on their investor call. But all in all, I think the business, you know, it's generally in really good shape.
Interesting that we've heard, particularly in this quarter, from the big tech companies that lean on advertising for their profits, that they're being affected by the supply chain issues that are.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I guess we first heard of this last week when Snap reported their earnings, and then we heard a little bit more from Facebook. You know, a lot of advertisers are saying, I need to pull back on my advertising because I don't necessarily want to be out there advertising, whether it's on Google or Facebook or, you know, the ABC television network or ESPN or whatever, because I don't want to generate demand for my products and services if I can't meet that demand. And so we've seen some of these companies pull back a little bit. And I think most investors are saying, okay, we get it. But that's a short-term issue. These supply chain issues will eventually be worked out, and the advertisers will come back here. So it's a little bit of a headwind for some of these players. But again, probably more in the short term.
All right. Thanks for this, Paul. Really appreciate it. Paul Sweeney from Bloomberg Surveillance and Bloomberg Markets will be back with us on those programs later on this morning here on Bloomberg Radio. Just taking a quick look at shares of both these companies in the pre-market, Karen. Microsoft shares are higher by more than 2%, while Alphabet shares a little changed.
All right, Nathan, thank you. Well, it's 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute? Resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Former President Donald Trump's new social media company has hired Florida attorney Lori Heyer Bednar as its chief legal officer. The U.S. Tax Court ruled that Tribune Media's 2009 sale of the Chicago Cubs was structured so that most but not all of the proceeds are non-taxable.
A federal judge in upstate New York ruled that the city of Syracuse and Onondaga County are liable for some costs associated with cleaning up two landfills where they allegedly disposed of hazardous waste.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Now another legal story we're watching takes us to judicial appointments. This week, the Senate voted to confirm a voting rights lawyer, Mirna Perez, to the Second Circuit Court of Appeals. And last week, Gustavo Delpy was confirmed to the First Circuit. President Biden is moving judicial nominees through the confirmation process faster than any other recent president, with 20 judges confirmed to lifetime appointments so far. For more on the makeover, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Carl Tobias, a professor at the University of Richmond School of Law.
Delpy has experience as a federal public defender, and five of Biden's six confirmed appeals court judges have that experience as a public defender. Explain why that's unusual on the bench and why it's important.
Well, before those people were confirmed, there were only three people on the federal appeals courts who had that type of experience, and one of Biden's foremost pledges in appointing judges was to name more people who had federal public defender or state public defender experience, as well as people who had experiences apart from being prosecutors or people from big firms. And he's kept that pledge. But it's really extraordinary, the experiential diversity, especially in terms of people who've been federal public defenders.
Yeah, that's the same number of former public defenders that President Obama appointed to the circuit courts in his two terms. Now, Biden has appointed 20 federal judges. Where does that put him in relation to other presidents at this point in their term?
He has eclipsed Trump. Using the benchmark of Halloween, he's appointed more judges and more appellate judges than even Trump did. And so he may be on track to eclipse that record.
How are they able to move so fast?
Well, I think Biden has not sent people who are very controversial. They have been experienced and experiential diversity. Most of them have had the highest rating from the ABA. They're not considered controversial, even by some Republicans. And so it shouldn't be surprising that they're moving quickly. And they have a very well-orchestrated machine in the White House and in the Senate.
And that's University of Richmond law professor Carl Tobias speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg terminal at BLaw Go. Futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down about 6 points now. Dow futures down 26 and NASDAQ futures down 25. 10-year Treasury up 5/32. The yield 1.59%. The yield on the 2-year 0.48%. Still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. And this is Bloomberg.